It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
Las Vegas is a complex city and has served as a backdrop for many television shows and films over the last several decades. One of the latest films here is an indie crime drama series with gambling and gangsters told from a Black perspective and starring local actors. Dog City explores the complex relationships between power, greed, and morality in a city built on illusions. And in this crime drama, the line between wrong and right, between predator and prey, between alert and obtuse blurs, and everyone must face the consequences of their decisions. In fact, the tagline for the film is, "Some decisions make you." My guest is K.C. Kriston. He's the award-winning writer and director of Dog City. For everything about K.C. and the film, go to dogcityfilm.com, and you can follow him on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And K.C., welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Before we get into the film itself and why you decided to make it, your background is a mix of different things, including books, right?
Correct. Yes, I am an author of three children's books. Two of them are available in Spanish. We have more written. They just have to be produced. So we are exploring how we can get more of these books produced this year and get them out to the public.
Now, how did you get involved with writing books for children? What was your background that, or maybe it wasn't your background, maybe you just decided to?
No, it wasn't my background. The short of it is, you know, I overheard two elementary school teachers speak, you know, talking to each other at a particular event. And they were talking about how bad the reading levels were here. This was many years ago, many. And I thought to myself, that can't be right. They have to be exaggerating. And so I went home and I looked it up and they were right. And I couldn't, I just thought that was incredible how bad reading levels were here. And so I've always had an interest in writing and the arts, if you will. And so I said, well, you know, what can I do? What can I do? And I thought back to when I was in grade school. I was not a good reader. I wasn't. And there were several reasons why. You know, one of them, I learned differently. But number two, not to give my age away, but, you know, I'm on the south side of Chicago. You know, who are the Hardy Boys? You know, these are, you know, white guys in cardigans and chinos. And we I don't see anything like that. So we had very little representation.
So you wanted to write the Homie Boys instead?
Kinda, yeah, the Homie Boys. And so I thought back to why I wasn't, you know, a good reader, why I wasn't as interested in reading. Now, I enjoyed reading the comics, etc. But, you know, to sit down and say, hey, reading is important. You know it's important. You just don't like to do it. The question is why. And so I said, well, let me see if there's something I can do. So I got with my good friend Rick, who's from Detroit, excellent graphic artist and illustrator. And I said, listen, man, I got these books that I'm writing. Let's illustrate them and, you know, do something for the kids, man. And he agreed. And that's where the Hanging with K.C. series came about.
My cousin and me, and I visit the zoo.
And the third one is My First Day of School. So I wanted to write about things that the majority of children either know about experience, you know, just real life things. You know what I'm saying? Most children have a favorite cousin. Most children like animals or go to the zoo or will go to the zoo or want to go to the zoo. And kids in the Western world will have to go to school at some point. So these are very relatable topics that can be referenced by children and by their parent when they read them, because I'm sure you have a story about going to school or hanging out with your cousin or going to the zoo, etc.
Right. So that's
it's relatable. So when you're sitting there reading this to the youngster, you know, that may give you an opportunity as the adult to bond, to say, hey, this reminds me of a time when X, Y, and Z. And that's quality time, you know, and we are just being bombarded with these screens, and children are spending more and more screen time. And we don't know if that's going to be how that's going to affect them. So I'm trying to give someone the opportunity to have a physical interaction with a child to do something that is, you know, extremely beneficial, which is reading, becoming literate.
And a tactile sensation with a physical book, which is always important too. And that third series is, or third book is My First Day of School, right?
Yes, they're in volumes. Volume 3 is My First Day of School.
Okay. Well, so now you make a segue, which is, I find it very interesting, because you were born in Chicago's South Side. You now call Las Vegas home, and you went from writing and still write children's books to this film. And how did you get the idea for the story for the film, and why did you decide to make it in Las Vegas, and how did you all put it together?
Well, Las Vegas is home now, going to be. As I said earlier, you know, I was a writer, always been a writer. I was the guy at the movie when, you know, it was, you know, what would have been funny if the guy had did this and he did that and this and that. And so, you know, you didn't break down a whole scene that wasn't there, but you can just imagine. So writing has always been fun for me. I've dabbled in some other genres. I've written op-eds for independent papers. I've written screenplays for people. So always enjoyed it. Started acting, doing a little bit of acting out here. You familiar with the Will Edwards show?
Sure.
It ran 6 seasons. Good friend of mine. I worked on his set. And, you know, got a bit of the acting world from him. And so it kind of snowballed into a few other things. But I was on set and doing a few productions. And I said, no one's doing anything about gambling. And minus the Scorsese, you know, no independent, you know, smaller house is doing anything on gambling. And I thought that was odd. And I observed that for many, many years. And I said, you know, I'm going to start writing some stuff on just, you know, on what could happen, you know. And I got with my brother Quan in Phoenix, because, you know, we've always, he's been a actor, stage, film, et cetera, for 30 years. And so we'd always say, man, you know, I think we could really make an interesting crime drama. I just, you know, because he grew up in Chicago with us, et cetera. And, you know, we've been around these people. Spence, you know, I lived in Phoenix for a few years and, you know, we're around that element. So when I was employed by my latest employer, you know, I told her about this idea, and she said, well, you know, I wouldn't mind doing something like that. So myself, her son, Chris, you know, we dotted the I's, crossed the T's, presented it to her. She liked it, and she said, yeah, I'll fund this project.
And it's received several awards, too.
Yes, we've won 9.
That's pretty impressive.
This day in time, you know, I can't be happier considering a guy that just, you know, was handed a check and said, go make this. I say, well, what do you mean, go make? Okay, well, that's why I was happy to call on my buddy Will and a couple other friends, you know, to say, hey, I need some guidance here. But we got several nominations. We've been officially selected, you know, et cetera. So yeah, there's no bad news at this point. You know? Uncharted waters. I didn't even think it would do this, but it has, and we're happy. We're about to release the second installment, Chapter 2 of Dark City. The story is going to get meatier. It's going to have more meat on the bones this time.
I think because of your literary background, I like the way you said Chapter 2, or the second chapter, as opposed to a sequel. Or some other terminology that might apply.
Well, the thought process behind that is there's all kinds of things that happen in the city. And, you know, there's, as they say, 8 million stories in the city. And so when you start introducing these characters, you can then begin to talk a little bit more about this character. And then the audience is going to say, well, who's this guy? Or why is she like this? Or how did they? And now you can then begin to branch off a little bit. I'm sure you've seen, just take Breaking Bad, for example. One of the characters, Saul, the attorney, actually turned into his own series, Better Call, you know. So it's just these characters that hopefully will intrigue the audience to say, I want to know more about this guy. I want to learn more about this, et cetera. Which is why it's called, you know, which is why we have chapters. I mean, you know, you probably could get 50 chapters out of this. If the more people you introduce, the corrupt politician, you know, police chief that's on the tape, the, you know, loyal guy that you think is loyal, but he's not. Well, why? Well, because he's doing this. So, you know, you can just go off in so many different directions.
You can even have one Better Call KC. That would be another.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, it could be. Where'd you get the name from, Dog City? How did that come about?
Well, as a child of the 70s in Chicago, it was this expression.
You're giving your age away again as a child.
A little, yeah. But there was this expression that was widely used, and it was a dog-eat-dog world. It, you know, it was. Now, as young as I was, I didn't know what that meant. But it always stuck with me. Always stuck with me. And when I, you know, looked at the story, it kind of reminded me of that. And it just said, you know, this is Dog City. Because when you start getting into the characters and all, And your mind is going to kind of wander a little bit to say, I bet you this guy's going to, you know, you're going to see, yeah, it's a dog-eat-dog world, man. It's tough out here.
One thing, I want to talk a little bit more about the plot in a second, but first, in terms of the Black perspective, how come, when I think about it now, there haven't been, that I know of, and I don't know everything, so there may not have been a indie film done in Las Vegas, a fictionalized version of Las Vegas from a Black perspective before. You have a significant Black population here, and you have a lot of talented people here, and yet you seem to be the first one to actually go down and start that. You may be the originator of that genre for Las Vegas.
You know, I have looked, and I have yet to find anything that's been done in the last 30 years concerning this. There has been some Black productions out here. I was in For a Fee with Ogino, a good guy. But, you know, that focuses on, it didn't focus on gambling. And to me, that was always surprising. Usually when you look at these independent productions, you know, they're focusing on drugs, nightlife, sex work, etc. But it just perplexed me. It's like, dude, this is how this city even exists for gambling. And when you look at the Moulin Rouge days, et cetera, there was a presence in the Black community of some great people, but there was also some people that, you know, were a little on the shady side. And so I wanted to tell a story because I just, you know, like you said, I just didn't see anyone doing anything like that, especially with the emphasis on gambling. And so we have some really good ideas for chapter 3, but in chapter 2, we're going to establish how vast my gambling network is. Now, granted, I don't have a gaming license, so I do everything underground. And it kind of focuses on addiction as well, you know, because in Las Vegas, if you have a spouse that has a challenge with gambling, you can call the casinos. Say, please don't allow them to play there, and they'll oblige. But from the modest knowledge I have about addiction, depending on its severity, you're going to find a way.
They always find a way with addiction.
Yeah. And that's where my character, Indio, comes in. I run the underground gambling action.
So there's,
and that's all I do though, but that's all I do. I don't fool around with narcotics. I don't do the ladies, you know, that's it. If it's got something to do with gambling, my name's attached to it.
So there's no scenes, I'm assuming then in the chapter one, there's no scenes taking place in casinos. It's all underground in a way.
Correct. For several reasons. A, I don't want to be in casinos. B, cost a lot to rent out a casino to shoot in there.
True. Speaking of that, though, when you're looking at locations and stuff, did you work with the Nevada Film Office or any of the...
You know, we work with a lot of entities. It's a great juggling act, man. And, you know, you have to look at time, et cetera. But what I will say in the second one, you're going to see some things that you didn't see in the first when it comes to areas like that. And I can tell you that in the third, it's going to be expanded even more. But in the first one, we just wanted to focus on, I have these places where you come. Where are you from, Ira?
Originally Los Angeles.
Are you familiar with the Hawthorne Racetrack and,
yes,
you know, all that OTB, off-track betting? You know, that's kind of what I'm showing in the first one.
Got it.
You know, you come to this place, you put in your action for this sports game, and you know, but, and then you either come here to collect or you pay up. But it's all under the guise of a different type of business. You know, it's a bar, it's a shoe store, it's a restaurant.
It's in the back where the action is.
It's in the back. And you know who's, you know what it is, because it's a front. You know, it's a bar, yeah, whatever, but it's a front.
Not in the, if it's not in the back, it's downstairs or upstairs, but it's not in the very front, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
When you exactly.
When you put the film together, were you in the position of, as many indie productions are, you're going to wear more than your KC hat. You're wearing many hats in terms of the production itself.
Oh, that's an understatement, man. this last one, you know, we shot in May because we were just trying to get everything in order. And man, you talk about a bear. You know, you have several special days in May. You got Mother's Day, you got Cinco de Mayo, you have proms and graduations, etc. Then it's starting to get hot. You know, you're getting your 90 plus days. And the way my character runs his organization is it's a professional organization. So these guys are in suits, you know, they're not, you know, pants hanging down and unkept. They're well-groomed, manicured, professional people. I'm saying that to say, you know, some of these guys are in suits and they're sweating. It's like, ugh. So that was a challenge. And yeah, you are managing people.
Mm-hmm.
You are a manager of people.
And equipment and location.
Location, equipment, people. He can make it to this one. He can't make it to that one. Unfortunately, we don't have Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings budget. So, I mean, if he's got to go, he's got to go. So then there are rewrites on the spot. You know, how do we do this?
Yeah.
I'll give you a perfect example, not to give everything away, but I'll give a perfect example. So we have a scene where the guys are going to go buy some drugs from someone else. And only two of the guys that were making the buy could make it. And it was a scene for three guys. And so, you know, I thought about it. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. This is what we're going to do. Had the two guys stand here, back the car up to a particular spot and leave the lights on. That way it'll look like the third guy's driving. But he was doing in the car, you know, just it's like, just that type of stuff. You just on him. Yeah. And you know, hey, I can't make it, stuck in traffic, but we got to start, you know, just.
Yeah. Well, it's not just the creativity of writing the script. It's the creativity of managing the people, the locations, and everything else.
Man, herding cats. That's
invention,
what I said.
The mother of necessity, or necessity, the mother of invention, in that sense. How are people able to access the film? Are you going to be distributing it, streaming it, or how are people able
so
to?
So you can stream it now on my website, dogcityfilm.com, dogcityfilm.com, dogcityfilm.com. Chapter two, we are in talks with some services to stream it. We want to get a far-reaching audience. We're having a ton of success in Europe, believe it or not. And I think that's fantastic. I think they're going to love the second one even more, because I think that gives that old school. You know, this film is what I would call a slow burn. It's not fast paced. It's not a lot of action. You're going to have to watch it a couple of times because of the way it's written. You're not going to get everything right away. There's quite a few subtleties. especially in chapter two, well, you're going to have to pay attention. You know, you're going to have to pay attention. And, you know, I think part of the success of the film that we've been having is, you know, there's been a lot of comic book movies coming out and just, you know, people want a little bit of substance.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, too, that the film, in a way, is you have a bifurcated market. You're telling a story from a Black perspective, but at the same time, it's also a human perspective, which is why it's big in Europe right now, as you mentioned.
Yeah. No, you know, I get so many questions about the female lead in the film. What's going to happen to her? What are they going to do? So, yeah, people are. When the film was written, the thought process was, you're a fly on the wall and you're watching what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted this to be extremely relatable. There's quite a few human elements in this. There's quite a few human elements in it. So.
Do you want to mention, before I let you go too, do you want to mention some of the lead characters, or not the characters themselves, the lead actors in the film? Do you want to give them a shout out?
Sure. So, wow.
Not all of them, so many, but.
Well, you know, in chapter one, we have, Angel Mendoza, who's a local guy, does a lot of theater. We have Gigi. We have myself, of course. We got Quan Vadreen. He's out of Phoenix, but he's got a resume as long as I'm tall. Sam Dever. Big shout out to Kevin Sprint's Law. He let us use his office. Chris Robbie is in it. My guy, AB. And so when you see some of these big guys that are in it, those are my actual friends because we were in the business together.
When you say big guys, you mean the muscle?
Yeah. All of them have private security backgrounds, etc. And so I used to work with most of these guys. And so they look the part because they do the part.
Right.
You know, AB, Mac, Jermaine, my man Eric. Oh, my good friend Dr. Sip is in it. The vast majority have come back for chapter two. So some of the characters in chapter two that I did not mention are Willie Roach, my man Tony. Amanda, excellent actor, theater. She does commercials. If you see her on these lawyer commercials, excellent actor. Diana.
Well, I think you didn't name the entire city of Las Vegas. I appreciate it.
No, man, I'm missing people, and I'm sorry.
It's all right. They'll be.
I'm sorry if I didn't.
If they go to the website,
I didn't get you. But
it's all right. If they go to the website, they'll get it. So that's good.
Right.
So, yeah. I think that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been KC Kristan, the award-winning writer and director of Dog City. And for everything about KC, go to dogcityfilm.com. That's dogcityfilm.com. And you can follow him on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. But KC, thanks for being on the show.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Be Las Vegas. Anything you want us to be.